It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
.net and podcasts available at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting right here in our News Talk 1400 studios inside the city limits of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan on this Monday, September 26th, 2022. Coming up on tonight's show, we will be joined by co-host David McKeag Jr., host of the Game Sports Show in Sault, Ontario, who will get us all up to date on all the goings-on in the north. Also joining us tonight, Butch Davis, co-host of the game here on News Talk 1400 and host of Butch on Sports, as Butch will join us to talk about what is going on in the Metro Detroit sports region and around the area. And Butch will stick around for hour two and our sports roundtable. Had a little technical glitch there at the beginning of the show. My apologies. Let's start our local sports coverage with high school football. The Sault Ste. Blue Devil football team, well, they dropped a close 7-6 decision on Saturday to Ogama Heights down in West Branch. This is the first loss for the Blue Devils after a 4-0 start. The Falcons would score on a 20-yard touchdown pass halfway through the second quarter. They would kick the extra point, which proved to be very, very important. The Sioux would answer right back just over 4 minutes later in the first half as Sioux quarterback Callan Campbell hit Max Scott with a 16-yard scoring pass. The difference in the game, the Falcons kicked the extra point and Sioux High failed in its two-point attempt. Blue Devils just weren't able to get the offense going. Credit to Ogama Heights and the Falcons defense. They did get down at the field on their final drive, making it to the Ogama Heights 10-yard line before an interception sealed the Falcons' win. Callan Campbell led the Blue Devils in rushing with 55 yards on 11 carries. Campbell was also 7 of 14, passing for 77 yards and a touchdown. He did throw two picks, both of which came in the final 3 minutes of the game. Max Scott, he led the receiving corps with three catches for 36 yards and a touchdown. Defensively for the Blue Devils, they were led by Caden Lujan, who had 13 tackles, Evan Arbick with six, Adam Horrigan and Cal Bell with five each. So the Blue Devils, as I mentioned, now 4-1 on the season. Doesn't get much easier as they will travel to Kingsley this Friday for a date with the Stags. You can hear that game over on our sister station, 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson. Dave will have the kickoff show around 6:35 on Friday. Cedarville Detour. Well, they had their way with Brimley Friday night in Detour as they knock off the Bays 64-24 in a Great Lakes 8 conference matchup. How about these numbers for the Islanders? 723 yards of total offense on the night, and they rushed for 587 yards. Wow. Cedarville Detour had a 42-16 lead heading into halftime. Islanders would have three players rush for over 100 yards. Quarterback Kaysen Smith, he led that group with 195 yards and two touchdowns on 19 carries, while Mike Perkins, he had 19 carries for 150 yards and two touchdowns, and Jackson Barr, he had 110 yards on the ground on 11 carries, and he scored two touchdowns. Quarterback Kaysen Smith threw for 136 yards and two touchdowns. He was 8 of 14 passing. Hasek Sweeney caught four passes for 88 yards, and he also tossed the other touchdown to Perkins, who caught a total of two passes for 45 yards. The Bays, quarterback Trey Lynn, he had 136 yards passing on 38 attempts, two touchdowns and three interceptions. Lynn also rushed for 121 yards and had a touchdown on the night. Owen Johnson, he had 81 receiving yards for the Bays, while Perry LeBlanc had 79 yards and two touchdowns. Cedarville Detour now 4-1 on the year. They will travel to Rapid River on Friday night, while Brimley now 1-4. they hope to host Engadine in the Weather Bowl, that one also on Friday. Reason I said hope is because Engadine had to forfeit their game this past weekend against Rudyard, so Rudyard wins that one by a 2-0 count. Rudyard now 3-2 on the season. They will be at Superior Central on Saturday. Pickford got a home game at Friday night, and game you heard over on Country 105, and it was all Panthers as they knock off Rapid River by the score of 58-28. Pickford really didn't have any problems in this game. They had 22 points in the first quarter, 29 in the second, taking a 51-14 lead into the break. As Pickford racked up the offensive numbers and then some, Brandon Althoff, he had 246 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns on just 13 carries, while Seth Miller, he ran for 88 yards and a touchdown in 5 tries for Pickford. Passing, Althoff, 5 of 7 for 172 yards and 3 touchdowns, while for Pickford, they also had some receptions from Seth Miller. Seth Miller, he caught 4 passes for 142 yards and a pair of scores, as the Panthers now 4-1 on the season. They're going to have a tough game this week as they will travel to Munising to take on the Mustangs Friday night. Other games involving area teams in high school football, St. Ignace, they improve to 4-1 on the season after their first loss last week to Gladstone as they ran over Oscoda by the score of 33-6. The Saints now 4-1. They will take on East Jordan on Friday. And Newberry also 4-1 in 8-man football as they shut out Superior Central by the score of 56-0, and they will host Rapid River that game on Friday. Other UP scores, Gladstone over Marquette 48-21, Kingsford over Escanaba 49-7, Westwood, they win at Manistique 22-6, Houghton, they shut out Hancock 42-0, Nagani over Ishpeming, 49-14, and a couple games on Saturday, Munising all over Sutton's Bay, 64-24, while Onekama, they win against Midpen, 76-38. In Northern Michigan Football League Legends Division, Kingsley, Sioux High's next opponent, they knock off Benzie Central, 41-21, and Traverse City St. Francis, they win over Grayling, 42-13. Sioux Ontario High School Football, St. Mary's, they get into the win column Friday night in senior high school football action at Superior Heights, as the Knights would fall behind early but bounce back to win that game by the score of 23-6. For the Saints, they had a hookup from Maddie Tucker and Daniel Bombaco for a touchdown. Tucker hit Bombaco for a 45-yard touchdown pass, and that's all that St. Mary's would need as they get their first win of the season. Superior Heights, they will return to action next Friday when they take on Cora, that one at 7:30 at Superior Heights. And St. Mary's, they have a bye week this week. They will return to action on October 7th as they will take on Cora. Speaking of Cora, they had a big game against Huron Heights Warriors, the Newmarket-based squad, and it was Newmarket winning that one by the score of 14-13. Cora almost got the job done, but just came up a little bit short. Cora will return to action this Friday, as I mentioned, as they will take on Superior Heights. That one scheduled for a 7:30 kickoff. High school volleyball from this past week, the Sioux High Blue Devils knock off Rudyard 3-2 in a match at Sioux High on Thursday. For the Blue Devils, they were led by Laura Innerebner, as she had 21 kills on the night, while Claire Erickson had 17. Lucy Husky, 28 digs to lead the Blue Devils, while Izzy DeWilt, she had 11. On Saturday, the Blue Devil volleyball team, they finished second place at the St. Ignace Invitational. In pool play, the Blue Devils knocked off Boyne Falls 2-0. Pickford, 2-0. Rogers City, 2-0. And split with Cedarville Detour, 1 set each. Upon reaching bracket play, the Sioux knocked off St. Ignace in 2 sets before falling to Inland Lakes in 3. Claire Erickson, she led the Blue Devils with 46 kills on the day, while Laura Innerebner and Kenzie Bell had 27 and 24 kills. Kennedy Hagen, she recorded 114 assists on Saturday, while Lucy Husky, she led the team in digs with 39. We're going to take a quick break here on the game. We come back, we'll cover more local sports as we'll look at the junior hockey scene and Lake State athletics and much more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to Sutra. TribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent auto owner's agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. With 9 locations to serve you, they're everywhere you need them to be. Account options such as checking, savings, and retirement accounts. Apply online for personal, home, and business loans. Enjoy conveniences like online banking, CSB Loan Pay Express, instant issue debit cards, mobile wallet, and remote deposit capture. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want in today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations, see their helpful smiling faces, and get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
6:14 on the game. Scott Nason with you as we are into fall here in the Twin Sioux. A rainy, kind of raw, windy day. But hey, that's good weather for hockey, and we have lots of hockey to cover here. Coming up next, we'll talk more hockey with co-host David McKeag Jr., who will get us up to date on all the goings-on in the North. And speaking of that, the Sioux Greyhounds of the Ontario Hockey League, they had their exhibition finale this past Friday night at Sudbury. Didn't go the Hounds' way on Friday as they fall by the score of 4-0. But those games don't matter. The ones that do start this week as the Hounds, they will open up the regular season this Friday and Saturday at the GFL Memorial Gardens, where they will take on North Bay in a pair of games at 7:07. And you can hear all Sioux Greyhounds games home and away over on our sister station, Rock 101, with Jerry Liscombe Jr. Also on Friday, the Sioux Greyhounds announced the official signing of forward Harrison Ballard. as Ballard was acquired by the club in a trade with the Kingston Frontenacs prior to training camp. At the time of the trade, Ballard had a commitment to play NCAA hockey with the University of Massachusetts this fall, but planned to attend training camp and eventually cracked the Sioux Greyhounds roster. Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League from this past week, a very busy week. The Sioux Thunderbirds, they're still struggling a bit early in the NOJHL season. They fell at Hearst on Thursday by the score of 6-2. The Thunderbirds would also fall on Friday night to the Sioux Thunderbirds, or rather to the Sioux Thunderbirds by the score of 7-3. Another game on Friday, two goals by Jack Mortson helped the Sioux Eagles to knock off Greater Sudbury at Puller Stadium by the score of 3-1. Another solid game in net by Logan Raphael. He's given up two goals in three games as he has all three of the Sioux Eagles wins, as the Eagles now 3-1 on the season, and they will travel to Greater Sudbury on Thursday. They'll be at home Friday to Elliott Lake before going to the first place, Espanola Paper Kings, on Sunday. And you can hear that Friday game right here on News Talk 1400. Yours truly and Rob Horn on the call with the pregame show around 7:15. Sioux Thunderbirds also in action on Saturday, getting a win. So they go 1-2 on their three-game road trip as they shut out Cochrane by the score of 4-0. Zachary Reddy earns the shutout in net for the Thunderbirds. So you have the Thunderbirds, Elliott Lake, and Eagles all with 6 points at the bottom of the standings. However, the Eagles have played several less games than both Elliott Lake and the Sioux Thunderbirds. And the Thunderbirds, they will be in action on Saturday against Greater Sudbury. Sioux Indians Midget AAA squad was down in Grand Rapids taking on Fox Motors over the weekend. And it was Fox Motors winning both those games by the score of 6-3. Eagles at home this weekend, Saturday, 5 p.m. at LSSU's Taffy Able Arena, as they will take on Honey Baked, while they will play the Sunday morning game at 10 a.m. They're going to play that one at Puller Stadium, also against Honey Baked, because Lake Superior State will be having their first game at the Taffy on Sunday. We'll get to that in a moment. Laker volleyball on the road this week as the Lakers fall to 1-14 overall, 0-7 in the GLIAC. Lake State would fall to Wayne State in three sets on Friday. They would also fall to Davenport in three sets on Saturday. So the Lakers now will be at home starting on Friday night as they will open a four-match homestand against Michigan Tech at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium, with the first serve scheduled for 5 p.m. Laker tennis, women's tennis, also in action over the weekend as they competed at the ITA Division II Women's Midwest Regional Championships. In singles, sophomore Maddie Whip, she came into the tournament as the 16th-seeded player in the A draw, and she continued her strong play as she defeated Finley's Laying Alvarado in three sets as they had a super tiebreaker in that one. As her great play continues in the B draw, Julia Franel Raton and Anna Ozio, they found themselves victorious in their opening round matches. Ozio earned a 7-5, 6-2 win over Tiffin's Shea Foster, and Fraley Raton moves to 4-0 in singles this fall as she earns a 7-5, 7-5 victory. Laker women's tennis, they will close out the fall season when they travel to Hammond, Indiana, for the Purdue Northwest Invitational that will begin on October 14th. Laker women's golf, they've placed 13th at the Lady Bulldog Fall Invitational hosted by Ferris State on Saturday. Julia Vest, she led the Lakers with a two-round total of 169 strokes, which was a six-shot improvement. In the second round, freshman Lakeisha Cesaron, hope I got that right, was not far behind with a combined total of 172. Jessica Hellebuck and Marie Matheau rounded out the lineup for the Lakers with respected totals of 177 and 181. Laker women's golf will return to action on Sunday, September 25th for the opening day of the Gilda's Club Laker Fall Invite. That's hosted by Grand Valley. That was actually yesterday, so we didn't get those results in, so my apologies there. Laker hockey, They will be in action coming up this week. They will travel to Michigan Tech on Saturday for a exhibition match against the Huskies. 1:35 pregame show over on Yes FM with Matt Pocket and Bill Crawford. And then the Lakers will take on Nipissing at the Taffy Able Arena on Sunday. That one, a 2:07 start. Pregame 1:35 over on Yes FM. Some other news out of Laker hockey camp, as they have announced a former NHL All-Star and award winner Dwayne Rolison as the team's goaltending coach and director of player development. This was announced by head coach Damon Whitten on Thursday. Rolison brings an extensive hockey background, including playing over 600 games for six teams over the course of his 14-year career in the National Hockey League, making him the second coach and currently with the program that has significant NHL experience, along with associate head coach and former NHL All-Star Mike York. As a player, Rolison signed as a free agent by Calgary after graduating from UMass Lowell. He'd make his NHL debut in 1996. He also would play for the Minnesota Wild in 2001. He'd make an All-Star appearance in 2004. And he'd also win a Roger Crozier Saving Grace Award for the NHL's best save percentage. On March 8th, 2006, he was traded to the Edmonton Oilers, and they had a very improbable Stanley Cup Finals run. I believe he might have gotten hurt in that series, as Carolina would win that one. After his playing career, Rolison returned to his alma mater, where he served as assistant coach before taking a position as goaltending consultant with the Anaheim Ducks for three seasons. So big addition to the Laker hockey family, Dwayne Rolison. That certainly can't hurt things. And some sad news to report. We all are mourning the loss of longtime Sioux Evening News reporter Rob Ruse, as he died with a short battle with cancer over the weekend. Rob, 55 years old, known by Rob as his family, by his family and friends. Rob worked as a sports reporter for the Sioux News for over 24 years, a fixture in the community. Everyone knew him around town, and certainly a big loss to all the sports fans and just people in Sault Ste. Marie. Rob is survived by his wife, Jennifer, daughter, Josephine, son, Duncan, and his brother, Blaine. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Ruse family right now as we mourn the loss of a good guy and certainly one of the best reporters around, Rob Ruse. We're going to take a break here on The Game. We come back, we will be joined by co-host David McKeag Jr., all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. Welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us now, co-host of The Game here on News Talk 1400 and host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, David McKeag Jr., joining us once again on this Monday night. Dave, how you doing, my friend?
Scotty, I'm good. It's a Monday. We are already approaching October. Can't believe it. Time is absolutely flying by. The weather is starting to reflect that. And as listeners know, I love my sunshine. So that's starting to move over and starting to welcome a little bit of the rain, the cool weather. But you know what? Nothing better than being on the show here on Monday nights with you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. And let's start with some junior hockey before we get to the Jays and the Maple Leafs. Sioux Greyhounds had their final exhibition game over the weekend, losing at Sudbury 4-0. Those games don't matter. The ones that do start this weekend, this Friday and Saturday, at the GFL Memorial Gardens, where the Sioux Greyhounds will take on North Bay Friday and Saturday night, 7:07 p.m. You can hear them in all Sioux Greyhounds games over on Rock 101 with Jerry Liscombe Jr. And a few weeks into the NLJHL season, Dave, the Sioux Eagles off to a 3-1 start. They won over the weekend over Greater Sudbury. Well, the Sioux Thunderbirds, not used to saying they are in last place, but they are. They lose 2 of 3 on their road trip. A little bit of a slow start, but you look at top of the West Division, Espanola, the Paper Kings early. It is very early, so I wanted your thoughts on junior hockey and what you've seen so far.
It is very early. You know what? Honestly, I don't remember the Sioux Thunderbirds ever having a start like this. I think you'd have to pull over to, and check over the archives to see if you can find that, if it even exists, that the Thunderbirds have been off the slow start that they're at. But you know what? It happens with organizations, and The Thunderbirds took a different approach this year to the season than what they normally do in terms of their team outlook, but it's still an exciting team to watch. It's still a lot of time to be had in the season, and it's still a bit different than it would be in the Ontario Hockey League or the NHL or anything like that. You don't necessarily focus on a rebuild in something in Junior B, but you can if you have all local players, right? That is kind of the way you'd look at it. But if you have a team that has a mix or more so of the other that aren't local, it'd be a different approach, right? Where if you're having off to a bad start, you're going to look to revamp it. Because a lot of teams that do rebuilds in Junior B hockey or kind of a new outlook is when they focus on the youth in their own community or close to it, such as the Sioux, Michigan, Blind River, Thessalon, Echo Bay. Those would be kind of the surrounding areas all the way up to, I would say, Sudbury would be the furthest limit of being local, but that's even too far. Heck, Blind River might even be a little too far. So the Thunderbirds are off to a slower start because they have a different team than what they're normally used to seeing. It's not because their talent's less or anything's less. They got fast, tenacious teams on the players on the ice, but it's just because the league in general has evolved, and it's great to see where Espanola is, right? It's great to see this competitiveness throughout right out the gate, and I hope it continues all year for all teams and that we don't have one team in one division be a huge separator. I know that's going to be too much to ask for. I'm sure there will be a team that separates themselves from all throughout the entirety of the year. That's commonly what happens in hockey and in sports in general. But again, this is a league that could have a lot of opportunity for equal or kind of competitive playing field, equal playing field, I should say, talent in the NOJHL. But overall, the Thunderbirds starting where they're at. It's not time to hit the panic button yet. It's still early. Still lots to go. When it comes December, and if they're still in last with a record well below 500, then you can ask me that question at that time if we should be hitting panic buttons. But it's not the same outlook that you would have in the major, junior, or the professional level. So I'm interested to see what happens the next couple weeks because Thunderbirds are a very proud organization. They've had a lot of success. If you look at their archives, there's a team that has never really finished under 500. I don't think they ever have. Scott, if I remember correctly, when I was there, they would never had a season under 500 either. So then when I played there, yes, I am bringing up my playing days again. Everyone chirps me about it. But 2009, that's almost 11 plus years ago, 13 years ago, and they haven't had one of losing season then. There hasn't been anything before that. So if there is somebody that knows that stat, please comment below. But it's a slow start, but still lots of time left overall.
Yeah, lots of time left, Dave, and I'm looking that up as we speak. They did have one season where they were 500, the 06-07 season. They finished 500 in the regular season. Other than that, they have been way above 500, and teams, there's always changing parts in the world of junior hockey. It's very early, and I wouldn't sleep on the Sioux Thunderbirds just yet. Dave, let's move on to the NHL training camps beginning. We'll talk a little bit later with Butch Davis about the Detroit Red Wings, but of course, I know you're a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan, as they will have their first exhibition game later this week against Montreal. And to me, Dave, you know, it really comes down to goaltending for Toronto. You know, they're going now with Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov. You know, before they've had Frederick Anderson, and then he went to Carolina, Jack Campbell. Campbell went to Edmonton, Peter Mrazek, who was traded to Chicago. So general manager Kyle Dubas replacing them with Matt Murray, who was traded from Ottawa, and free agent Ilya Samsonov. Will that be better for the Maple Leafs? I guess we're going to have to find out. But heading into training camp, Dave, I just wanted your thoughts on the Leafs as, you know, the regular season just a couple weeks away.
You know, the goaltending tandem in Toronto is something that is being heavily criticized going into the season. And you look, let's start with Matt Murray. Matt Murray has won two Stanley Cups. That almost has not. Like, you can look at the team. Oh, he played with Pittsburgh. Yeah, he played with Pittsburgh. But if you look at his performances in those playoffs, he was a big part in them being successful. I know Nashville won those Stanley Cup finals. If it wasn't for Matt Murray, Pittsburgh would have lost that series easily. So Matt Murray is something that, you know, a lot of that we like to call in the media business is potential. Okay, potential is there for Matt Murray to rebound. Matt Murray is coming into training camp 13 pounds heavier. He's coming there a bit cleaner, and apparently he's the healthiest he's ever been. Now, every player says that. Every outlook is that he has had some injury-riddled years. It's a guy that they're paying over just under $4 million for, and criticism through the roof with that trade. I get it. But I'll go back to Matt Murray in just a moment. I want to touch on Ilya Samsonov. There's a goalie, okay, that in 2019-20 season and in 2020-21 season, yes, very limited action, but he had over a 900 save percentage. Last season, he was just under a 900 save percentage, and he had a 3 goals against average, but you know what? Still had 23 wins. And on a team on Washington that left him out to dry. If Ilya Samsonov played on Toronto last year, I guarantee you, even though Toronto doesn't have anything flashy of the E, they're better than Washington's, and if you disagree, tough luck, you're wrong. The Toronto Maple Leafs would have maybe had those numbers down at least 0.2 points. So he would have been maybe around the 275, 280 point. And the way he played in his regular, or sorry, his preseason debut with Ottawa, 2 periods, not a goal against, and he had just about 16 saves, and he looked sharp. And now that's just 40 minutes of action against a team that was more of a secondary squad, but he looked healthy. He looked comfortable in the crease, and that's what I want to see. Ilya Samsonov are the two goalies. There's somebody who hasn't lived up to the hype yet, and he's had some recently consistent seasons before. And if you look how he was in the KHL, there was a goalie that was just under 230 goals against average, a 93 save percentage. Like, the potential is there. So we're talking about two potential goaltenders that could run away with it. But the goalie I'm truthfully watching out of the both of them is Ilya Samsonov. I think he has the opportunity to potentially break through as the number one guy for Toronto. And honestly, if he doesn't, he doesn't. The contract's 1 year, $1.5 million. Obviously, the main focus is Matt Murray. He's the veteran goaltender. You know, you can look at his numbers back in the past, too, and he's had some struggles. But last year in 20 games, he had a 90.906 save percentage. Again, a 3 goals against average. But there's a goalie who actually did okay last year, given the team that had played in front of him. So he's coming in this year healthier. Samsonov is coming in this year healthier. Samsonov doesn't have Ovechkin yelling at him from the bench, calling him a plug or whatever he called him the one time. And Matt Murray doesn't have the expectations over his head that he had in Ottawa that $6 million. He has bigger ones in Toronto, but it's for a team that he grew up and joined to watch, and it's an overall better team than Ottawa is. Ottawa's going to be a good hockey team. They're getting there. They're my underdog team this year that's going to be kind of climb up the ranks, but they're both goalies that needed change. They got it, and it started off strong for Samsonov, and I hope it does for Murray. But to answer your question, taking the long way around it, there is question marks, consistency, if it was the right move by Dubas. Dubas is putting his job on the line for these two goalies, in particular Matt Murray more than Samsonov. And honestly, Matt Murray is excited to be there. Toronto, it looks like they're all coming back healthy, that they're excited to get started. But Matt Murray and goaltending is going to be the question mark. And that has been a problem that's never hasn't been addressed in years, right? You can look back, Cujo, Ed Belfour, all those days. Then you had the crappiness of goaltending for a little bit until Frederick Anderson entered the chat. And then, as you said, Jack Campbell. Goaltending has been decently consistent. And it's been Toronto's defense that's the question. Now, this year, is it if the defense can be itself like it was last year. It was really good defensively last year. Didn't do anything flashy, but they did a pretty good job. But now it's the goaltending. So that back end does concern me. But they can win a lot of games 9-7 Toronto because of the offense that they have. There's still some additions that they need. I still think they should have a winger for Tavares' line still outside of Willie Nylander. And I feel like another a mid-range top four defenseman would be really effective on this team to kind of put them over the top. I still think Dubas might still do something within the year that if things also start off slow, obviously. But goaltending is the question here, like you said, Scott. And Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov shouldn't be criticized yet. Believe in them a little bit, but don't believe in them too much. I didn't say believe, I said belief, because that's the term that people like to use. But Scott, overall, honestly, I don't think the goaltending that they have right now is the answer. But after everything I just said, it's not like I'm contradicting myself, because Matt Murray has won 2 cups, and these are goalies with potential. And if you look back at when Ed Belfour was in Dallas, when he had a drinking problem, he came over to Toronto, changed over his career. Curtis Joseph was strong before he came to Toronto, okay, but he got better in Toronto. He stood up in the limelight. Maybe want to be that limelight. Maybe they can repeat the past and have a goalie breakthrough and be that guy in the face of that franchise that we've been waiting for. Because Frandy Anderson and Campbell, they've been faces, but they haven't been able to get us to the next step. Nor has the other goalies to the Stanley Cup, but at least Joseph and Balfour got us the second, third, and third final before the finals. So interesting to see what happens, Scott. I'm gonna err on the side of caution, but I don't think people should doubt the Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov tandem just yet. I think there should be a little bit of belief with them.
David McKay Jr. joining us on the game, and speaking of belief, Dave, looks like the Toronto Blue Jays will be in the playoffs. Currently 86-67, they have a 2.5-game lead over Tampa and another half game over Seattle. Baltimore 4 games out, so barring an epic collapse, which it doesn't seem like the Jays will have, they should be in the wild card best of three series. They're hoping to host it. Of course, all eyes will be on Aaron Judge this week as the Yankees will take on the Toronto Blue Jays. But going down the stretch, Dave, you feel pretty confident in your Jays. They haven't lost a series in over a month. You have to go back to late August since they've lost a series. So playing consistent baseball and the time you want to get hot as you head into the postseason.
Back at last year, and I even think I would have to pull up that in the archives, but last year they're hot in September. The Jays, for some reason, play September baseball much better than what they do. Question marks with the bullpen, but September, who has, I believe, still the most innings of any reliever in the AL. Obviously, Cleveland Guardians have Class A as their weapon as a closer, but Toronto has a weapon in themselves with Jordan Romano. He's blown a couple saves recently, but he's still an amazing arm. And overall, this is a team that has a bullpen that can get the job done. Is it a superior bullpen? No. So that is to the exception of Romano, and maybe I shouldn't doubt Simber at all, but I just feel, you know, I'm still on the air side of the caution when it comes to Simber Garcia being seventh and eighth. But this is still a team that if they get to the seventh with their starting pitch, they can close the game. You know, you have three pitchers that are your starters, and one of them's been really inconsistent in Jose Barrios. But Stripling has been a pleasant surprise for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's been fantastic this year. And then you got that fifth rotation that's basically Mitch White and bullpen day, which is basically, you may as well chalk it up as a loss sometimes. No offense to them, but it's really difficult when he's really a Merriweather pitching in the same game, potentially. A doubt that come out of the Toronto Blue Jays nation. But you have a team that is looking really strong. Okay, they are really hot in September. They're a team that is a very strong offensive team. Defensively, they're really good as well. And when pitching is consistent, bullpen and starters, they're a top team in the league. Okay, and their record has shown they are a very good ball team. It's too bad that the Yankees had such an amazing start, because maybe the Jays, if the Yankees didn't start that high, they'd be pushing for a division right now. And I don't think they're going to catch the Yankees. It would take the Yankees to lose basically every game and the Jays to win every game to win that division. So to fight for that final spot seems to, you know, be the spot to host. You know, but I got to say, some people have said the Jays are not always great at home against the Yankees or even Seattle. They would probably play better at home against Tampa. And if you look at the stats, that doesn't reflect that. So Seattle and Tampa is a very tough first round either way. But the Toronto Blue Jays are winning this month. They're showing signs of brilliance with their bat. A lot of people. Bichette's been unbelievable. He's been godlike. Same with Chapman's been well. Gurriel hasn't even been playing because he's not healthy. This is an offense that's World Series caliber. And now it's just making sure that people can pitch like Manoah has when it comes to the rotation and the bullpen. And this is a team that can make the World Series. Everyone's saying, well, wouldn't you rather them play Cleveland and then move up to play the Yankees? Yes, if the Jays can play in the Bronx, I would love it. They love playing in the Bronx, and they've shown that this season. But you know what? That's not going to be how it is. And the Jays' mentality is just to win games, host the wild card series, and win those games, and then they go play Houston. That's their goal right now. That's what they're pushing towards. And if I'm looking as a Toronto fan right now, I'm pleased about what I'm seeing on the fields, and you should be enjoying this, because in the playoffs, all you need to do is just get in baseball. Then anything can happen. A team can get hot, and the Jays have already been hot, and to go into the postseason hot, anything could happen. Big week against the Yankees and Red Sox. The Yankees can make some history because of Judge and also winning division at the Rogers Center, which might put a little fire underneath the Blue Jays' rear end. But as much as I dislike the Yankees, being a sports guy, you got to respect what the Yankees have been doing. But they've been cold the last couple months. They haven't been the Yankees of the at the beginning of the season. But what Judge has been doing, Scott, the guy's an absolute monster. He's not human. And he's going to hit one at the Rogers Center this week. It's going to happen. He likes that 328 sign at left field. He's going to crush one, especially if he's looking at some of the guys in the bullpen. It's going to be an exciting series, though, but hopefully the Jays can sweep. But even just winning the series would be a positive because that's what the Jays have been doing consistently this past month.
Dave, before we let you go, what's ahead for you and your crew with the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario?
We had our Nate Prosser upload on Friday. Fantastic upload that was with Nate Prosser, former NHL defenseman. We have a bunch of pre-recordings this week for Game Sports Show special editions. The next couple weeks are pretty packed. But in terms of pre-recorded and live uploads, so In the Pocket will be on Wednesday. And then we did have to push Strike Zone from this past weekend, so we will have a Strike Zone at some point within the next 7 days. So you're looking at In the Pocket and Strike Zone on our end in Sioux, Ontario this week.
David McKay Jr. joining us once again on the game. Dave, as always, thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your week. I'll certainly be listening to several of those shows, including In the Pocket. You'll have a couple happier co-hosts, I think, this week, and maybe a couple unhappy co-hosts. But as always, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night, sir.
Sounds good, Scotty. And listeners and followers, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on all of our platforms and the TGEM Network YouTube channel for Categorized Podcasts. Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you, sir. That was David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll be joined by another co-host, Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. As Dave exits the car, all coming up on the Twin Cities only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
6:48 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us now, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from Sunday night, which you can find on Butch's website. Just go to simplybutch2. That's too.podomatic.com. You can also find all editions of Butch on Sports on our podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports region and the sports world in general. Butch, it's cold. It's rainy up here in Sault Ste. Marie. How are you doing? And what's the weather like in your neck of the woods?
Cold, it's wet, it's rainy. And it always, it didn't even hit 60 degrees today here, man.
Yeah, fall is here, Butch.
Freeze down here, man. Last week on Wednesday it was 90 degrees.
Wow.
And now it doesn't get above 60.
It's a little chilly, Butch, but the high school sports season, the fall sports season, is heating up as high school football played week 5 as well. You have cross country, volleyball, and other sports going on. Just give us an update from your neck of the woods as far as how things are going and some of the teams and games and people that you're watching.
Well, as you know, the point system for getting in the playoffs is a little bit more complicated than not.
Yep.
So everyone who wants to be part of the club or be part of the party, they're playing their, giving their best, you know, forward in there. For example, I looked at River Rouge playing in Cleveland.
Wow.
Cleveland State here, okay? Of course, they lost 21-14. You know, will that count toward their standings or whatnot? I don't think so here because, again, that's an out-of-state. But, again, finding competition, and I've mentioned this before about River Rouge. River Rouge seems to be in a very weak division there. There are some teams that have upgraded themselves, and, you know, you can't take that away from those particular teams, but they're very few and many. For River Rouge to get quality points and play some of the teams they're playing right now. Ecorse right now is doing very, very special there. Right now, they've not lost a game this season. And they're getting rankings mainly in the C division there, which they play in, versus River Rouge is in A. So they will cross paths, I'm quite sure, before the end of the year there. I forgot the date that those two teams will be matching up. I think is an E-course this year, so that should be a pretty significant game there. Cal State beat up Winston 69-0.
Wow.
This is after the Pistons gave them a full-fledged weight system and weight room, okay? Equipped, everything else there. I think Western needs to get in there quick, fast, and hurry and take advantage of this new equipment. Dearborn Heights Crestwood beat Melvindale. That was a close game. Romulus is not that good this year. Dearborn Heights and Annapolis beat them 24-6. Dearborn Divine Child 15, Livonia Clarenceville 8. Livonia Churchill loses to Dearborn by a score of 38-19. Trenton beat Lincoln Park to a pulp 28-0. And also King did the same thing to Henry Ford, in Detroit. That's 56-0. And again, I mentioned Cal State 69 to Western's goose egg there. You know, right now, it's all about homecoming, and it's all about after the homecoming ceremony get over, then that's when they're going to get down and dirty.
Yeah, it's been a few years that a lot of schools have been able to do that, and certainly as we get a little more back to normal, you know, those are the things, you know, with, you know, having two kids in high school right now, you know, that was gone for a few years. I talked to a lot of people who have younger kids, you know, especially the last few years, kindergarten, first and second grade, they didn't know what school was because, you know, schools were gone, and so it's nice to see, you know, the homecomings and the parades and the bigger crowds be back, because, you know, it looks like, knock on wood, COVID-19 is a little bit in our rearview mirror. It's just nice to have those things back to normal for the kids.
Well, I don't think it's in the rearview mirror. I just think people are going to progress and do what they can do, whatever they can get away with there. In smaller cases, such as, let me see, a city like Southgate, for instance, there, I'm in the elementary school portion of Southgate Public Schools there. And they celebrate homecoming just like the high school did. Today was pajama day.
No.
Yours truly did not wear any pajamas.
That was going to be my next question.
In his skibbies and whatnot, but he wore his regular clothes and everything there. But there were a lot of teachers and a lot of kids running around in their pajamas in school today.
Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Lions. We'll certainly talk more about them in hour two as the Lions went to Minnesota on Sunday to take on the Minnesota Vikings. They took a 10-point lead in the first half. They took a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. But we're not able to hang on as the Minnesota Vikings would march down the field and score the winning touchdown after a questionable field goal attempt by Austin Siebert, as Dan Campbell decided after going for it on fourth down pretty much the whole game. When the Lions were up three, they had a fourth and four. They decided to kick a 56-yard field goal. Didn't work as Minnesota knocks off the Lions 28-24. The Lions now 1-2 on the season. Butch, lots to talk about in this game. I'll give you the floor.
I don't know how that field goal was questionable. It was way before that field goal was kicked that things were very questionable for the Detroit Lions coaching staff and coaches beyond there. And right now you can't. The players get out there and play the game, but the coaches are supposed to be guiding them, and there was no guidance in that fourth quarter from none of the coaches there. They were making very dumb mistakes. Let's give an example there. The Lions go for it on third down, okay, on fourth down, and did not make it. That is a time where they were in very good position to make a legitimate field goal. They did not do that, okay? Okay, the next series when they marched down the field, okay? Now you decide to do a field goal when you should have ran the doggone ball? I mean, they were very successful going on fourth down. They were very successful running the ball up the gut, not going around the corners, right, up the gut, and they didn't do it. Got to be some sanity involved when it comes down to making decisions. And I think right now, today, it was admitted that the coach, Campbell, did some things that he should not have done or should have done. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want to get to like we were in the eighth week of the season last year, where you decide that certain coaches weren't doing this, that, or the other, or he should have stepped it on up a notch and dealt with his gut and do things in a way that the players on the field will be rewarded and win. Now, I'm not saying the defense is out of touch and out of mind. Yes, they are. There were certain players on defense did an incredible job. There were other players on defense that were not good because of injuries or something else occurred there. All that has to be straightened out by the coaching staff there. Right now, I think that is the card that needs to be played. How are the coaches going to get together to make the team the better team there? We have the players on the team. You have to guide them in a direction where their confidence level is up 110% or more to get the job done. They did that in many occasions yesterday. When the Meadow met the road in the fourth quarter, he ran like a coward in the street, okay? And that's really what's making people mad today about the Lions' victory or defeat from the Minnesota Vikings there. They have played three games. They were all winnable games yep. there. Decisions have a lot to do with it. And right now the coaching staff got to get themselves together and stop being clowns, okay, and be together for those players. That basically right now they have had the best players they have had in a very long time with a lot of ability.
Yeah, the offense was moving the ball nicely. Like you said, they were running up the middle. Jared Goff had another good game. He did throw that late interception, but that was a desperation ploy. And head coach Dan Campbell, obviously, today having some regrets over some of those decisions. I didn't like when they called a timeout on defense when Minnesota had no timeouts to get their defense set, and they got burned down the field. But we got to save it for the next hour, Butch. We're going to take a brief one-minute break. When you and I come back, we'll talk more about the Lions' loss at Minnesota and look around the NFL and more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307, serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Jeep Adventure Days are on all September long at O'Connor's of Pickford. Ultra-low mileage leases have the payments you love, and O'Connor's has the Jeeps you crave. Like a new 2022 Jeep Gladiator Latitude. Your good credit can put you in that Jeep Gladiator Latitude on a 39-month ultra-low mile lease for just $408 a month plus tax and only $39.95 due at signing. Jeep Adventure Days, when the folks at O'Connor's of Pickford are waiting to put you in the Jeep you love.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, let's talk a little bit more about the Lions' loss to Minnesota. And I kind of wanted to go through some of the things that I saw. You mentioned, questionable coaching decisions, which is, pretty much, I think, up front and center right now. But, like you said, Butch, there is talent on this team. Jared Goff is having a really good start. 25 of 41, 277 yards, one touchdown, and then he did have that interception on that desperation heave at the end. He averaged 5.6 completed air yards, which was much better than last year. Running backs, DeAndre Swift, now he's got a shoulder injury. We'll have to see what happens there. He, ran the ball seven times for 31 yards. Jamal Williams had a good game, 87 yards, 20 carries, and two scores. Wide receivers did pretty well. Josh Reynolds, I thought, had his best game of the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to play well. DJ Chark had a few grabs early, but really wasn't that effective throughout the game. Tight ends, TJ Hawkinson had a touchdown, but he's been doing more, I think, on the run blocking. And I thought their offensive line played pretty well yesterday. You had Jonah Jackson out for this one. They're still trying to patch things up. So offensively, I think the Lions are doing pretty well. Defensively, Butch, there were some issues yesterday. The defensive line, not quite as effective as against Washington. Credit Minnesota's offensive line. We didn't see as much from Hutchinson, as we did the other game. Linebackers were average, but boy, I thought the secondary looked a little rough outside of Jeff Okuda, as he was on star receiver Justin Jefferson. But Amari Awore, 6 penalties? What was that all about?
It was a joke, okay? And again, the head coach has to address the defensive coach that you're not getting the job done. Again, it shouldn't take 8 games to decide you're going to call defensive plays and whatever it may be, because the person you got in there is supposed to be capable to get this done is not being aggressive enough to win games. They're playing very soft in the second half of every game they've played this season, and that should not be. They should be hair on fire, acting a fool, and getting stupid on defense there in order to get it. Now, the penalties, that has to be trimmed down to a minimum. But again, when you have the talent on the field, the only way Hutchinson is not getting the call because teams are aware of the guy here. That means everybody else has to step up. And if they're not stepping up, you got to find the next man who wants to get in there and put their foot down and make a go for it. They can't keep putting the same people in and they're not performing. Or they cannot keep pulling 2 plays in and 2 plays out and think that's going to get the job done. It might be the case where you got to put a set line up there and let that go for what? And ride with it there. I just think that right now the defense does not have their ship in order.
Juju Hughes might be that next man up, Butch, in the secondary, as it was announced today. Tracy Walker, who got injured in that game on Sunday, he put out on Twitter that he tore his Achilles. He is done for the season. Walker, who signed a 3-year, $25 million extension with the Lions this past off season, captain, first-year captain of the Lions defense. He made 9 of 13.
The last game.
Yeah, or the last game, exactly.
So he hasn't been nothing. He's not worth the money they spent on.
Well, he's out for the season, Butch, and so
yeah,
again.
He should be.
Wow. Butch Davis, not a Walker fan, I see.
I'm not about a Walker fan. I'm not about how he presented himself in the first place from game one. He hasn't shown anything of prowess that gave him the captain's role this year. A big mouth didn't get him nothing but an Achilles tendon injury and whatnot there. A big mouth got him kicked out the game, the second game of the season.
That's right.
Was needed the most or whatever it may be. That's stupid.
So the Lions will be in action on Sunday against Seattle. Seattle lost to Atlanta yesterday. The Lions 1-2, Seattle 1-2. 11 o'clock pregame show over on Oldies 93. Butch, if you are the head coach of the Detroit Lions, what are you working on this week?
What am I working on this week? Not being stupid. Okay? Not putting – I don't think Swift should have been playing the game at all yesterday. So the condition that you put him in, it was not worth him getting more injuries, which that eventually happened, okay? Now you got the point is that he's not going to maybe be available for the next game, where you could have sat the guy and gave him a week off, get yourself a lot more attended to whatever injuries he had, which was, I do believe, his ankle. And he would probably been a better player for weeks upcoming and whatnot. That is flushed down the toilet there. Okay, now you got to depend on the Reynolds, and you got to depend on Jamal Williams to do the dirty work and whatnot with maybe little to no backup, unless you use one of the quote unquote the fullbacks that they hardly ever give the ball to, and I can't understand that either. Okay, with the offensive line the Lions have. To push a defense to no not one, they're not taking advantage of it, and they should, okay? The Lions got a very good offensive line. They got to use that to their intentions of getting a better percentage of things for Jeff Goff to pull off in his arsenal or whatever they taught him during the offseason.
Butch, let's look around the NFL and some of the other games that were played on Sunday. A pair of 2-0 teams down in Miami, and it was the Miami Dolphins knocking off the Buffalo Bills 21-19. Miami 3-0, Butch. What are your thoughts on the Dolphins? They added some receivers, but I think it's that defense that seems to really be pushing them over the line. Nice win for the Dolphins yesterday.
They lost no games in a long time.
Yeah.
If you go back to last year and the amount of games that they won during the end of the season, still didn't make the playoffs per se, but, got kicked in the rear end. That is something to behold there. Right now, I like Miami and what they are showing in there. They're just showing no fear, and we got nothing to lose kind of attitude. And maybe that's what the Lions need to steal there, because right now Miami's making better moves. Their core of coaches are making the right moves for them and doing very well, per se.
How about this stat from the game, Butch? Buffalo had 90 plays. Miami had 39, and Miami wins the game. That defense was out there a long time, and they only gave up 19 points.
Yeah, but you look at Miami and got a high-powered offense. It doesn't take them long to get their game established there. You already know what they're going to give you. They're going to give you bombs. They're going to give you some specialty plays. They're going to give you some trick plays. There's not much in the arsenal to use, but again, if the defense ain't ready to take care of it, then you're in trouble. And Miami just goes out there and say, this is what we have.
Another.
Take it or leave it.
Yep, another.
Stop me, so what? And there, no one has been able to stop them, okay? Even when they've been behind, they still have an arsenal. I mean, powerful enough to go in there and score points at a single bound. They did a very good job on Buffalo yesterday, especially the defense there.
They sure did. Philadelphia, they are 3-0 as they knock off Washington 24-8. Devonta Smith, he had a career high 69 yards in that one. Chicago, 2-1 on the season. Butch, they win a close game at home against Houston by the score of 23-20. You have the entire NFC North at 2-1. We'll talk about Green Bay.
Except Detroit.
Exactly. Tennessee.
They should be 2-1.
They should be. Tennessee. Tennessee gets their first win of the season at home over Las Vegas. The Raiders, Butch, 0-3. And that's a pretty tough division to climb out of in the AFC West. What's going on with the Raiders? You know, they add Davante Adams. They give their quarterback a big contract extension. But that team kind of surprised their 0-3.
They got what they think they got, okay? They got a lot of high price from the ownership or whatever it may be. They need some dependability when it comes down to playing the game. Carr doesn't have no one to put pressure on him to be a better quarterback there. And you got receivers right now that basically are not showing up. They're not the mad bombers of old, okay? They're showing nothing, as far as I'm concerned there, and they're paying for it with nickels and dimes there. The team I'm very much so impressed with is in the AFC South is Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
They came out there like and playing like, you know, they got no fear. Their defense has been outstanding the last 2 weeks, plain and simple. You ain't did nothing to them that can hurt them. And they hopefully get better. And that comes from an organizational coaching staff that's going in there and getting the job done with the players, getting confidence, doing the things they're asked to be done, and doing it on the field, and basically they're getting results from it. Indianapolis, we didn't think they were winning any ball game yesterday, but they did, and they're 500. Always on the board. 1-1 here. So, you know, if you want to be a clown, you can be in the NFL there. But, you know, if you want to show some problems and whatnot there, right now we saw a lot of teams who basically we thought would win did not get the job done, okay? And again, this is going to be a wacky league this year because for once in my lifetime in the NFL, I've seen a long time, they got some parity there where any team can come in there, at least in the early part of the year, and win a ball game there. When you think you don't have nothing, even down to Houston, who has not won a game this year, has shown some prowess on offense as well as defense in certain occasions where they kept the ball game close and kept themselves in it there. So, you know, competition is very deep this year, I think, in the NFL than it has been in a good while.
It is, but you mentioned Indianapolis. They knock off Kansas City at home 20-17. Jacksonville all over a pretty banged up Chargers team, but that didn't matter. 38-10. As Trevor Lawrence maybe starting to get it going there. Certainly the defense playing a lot better in Jacksonville, and that's going to be a fun team to watch. I don't think many people...
That was another clown show, okay? Because no way in the heck that A-Bear or E-Bear or Herbert should have been playing yesterday.
No, not at all.
No way he should have been playing. But again, you get coaches and you get staffs of medical people who are greedy and stupid. And maybe they're, I don't know, in somebody else's bean pot or something there, but they're making bad decisions. And really, truly, it hurts nobody but the players indeed because you don't have that player. Hey, but Irvin is not going to be playing next week. I'm quite sure. If they got any brains, okay, he's not going to play next week. And so now you're down to dealing with your secondary quarterback, which basically should have been playing the week before and got the experience needed, win, lose, or draw. You know, that's where you're at. And you're not making your team any better by putting out a player who right now is hurt and you want to walk out there with fractured. Hey, I can't go to work with a fractured gut, man. You know, I'd be staying home and kind of watching young Shelton or something here, man. Come on. This doesn't make any sense.
Couple teams earning their first victory of the season yesterday. Cincinnati, they defeat the New York Jets 27-12. Carolina over New Orleans at 22-12. Baltimore, they pounded New England 37-26. The Rams, they edge pass Arizona by the score of 20-12. Atlanta, a little bit of a surprise as they win at Seattle 27-23. And then the game that I watched last night, Butch, a low-scoring game. Of course, Tampa Bay certainly were without several of their receivers, but Green Bay in the running game did well as their new wide receivers. The Packers, they defeat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 14-12. And so all those Packer fans that might have panicked after week one, Packers rebound with a couple nice wins in a defensive battle yesterday, Butch.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's not impossible if you're working with your personnel. Rodgers, you knew he's going to get those players going to get used to Rodgers, and Rodgers get used to the players. Green Bay has done nothing but the week progressing has gotten better and better and better, and they're still going to get better as long as no injury bug doesn't kick them around or whatnot. So, again, Green Bay is going to be the team to beat, at least in our division there. Everything else, in my opinion, and Chicago don't look bad either, especially on defense there, yep. But in our division, if your defense is not right, you're not going to win anything. I don't care how good your offense is. Right now, the Lions' problem is not offense. Decisions on offense is a very big problem, but on defense, it's right now it's in the critical state where it's something that needs to be done quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Speaking of defense, Butch, the Denver Broncos 2-1 because of their defense. They beat San Francisco 11-10. What an odd score that was. But, you know, they don't need Russell Wilson to throw for 400 yards and three touchdowns. That Denver defense is solid.
It was very solid yesterday there. And again, Mr. Jimmy G, why don't you please? And showing every day why they needed Lance.
Yep, they are.
Because again, he didn't show up here, or the personnel that he got on the field didn't show up for him there. But I think San Francisco got to get that problem out quick, fast, and hurry. Because again, when you alienate one person and say, well, go away, come back another day, and now you need that person to pull you off the hole, San Francisco has not put themselves in a very good ratio, especially with the players and how they treat certain individuals on that team.
Butch, you mentioned parity. Just three undefeated teams left in the National Football League: Philadelphia, Miami, and tonight, the New York Football Giants at home against Dallas. That's hard to believe in 3 weeks that you could have only two undefeated teams. You excited for America's team, the Cowboys, taking on the undefeated Giants tonight?
Yeah.
It's a good game. I like that game. I didn't think you were. I thought you'd say no.
Yeah, I would be. I would love to see the Cowboys beat the Giants. Just so there'll be only two left. And then the other two get beat up next week here.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. You're not going to have an undefeated team this year. Again, I looked at a lot of the games yesterday. And even the lower brand teams such as Seattle and Atlanta. And yes, let's talk about Detroit and also Washington there. They did their due diligence in making games very close. New England didn't do a bad job. Cincinnati, they won their first one. Houston, they kept it competitive. As well as Las Vegas kept it competitive. Didn't win, but they kept it competitive. So all those weeks upcoming there, it's not going to be bad luck for those teams at the bottom there. They're going to win some of them games there. It's for the teams at the top to stay at the top, to do the things that got them to and show their greatness via offense or defense.
Just two winless team, Butch, Houston, who has a tie, and the Las Vegas Raiders. That's it. Everybody else has a win. Butch, before we go to break, the NFL is replacing the Pro Bowl with a week-long skills competition and a flag football game. The new event will replace the Full Contact Showcase, which started in 1951. It will be renamed the Pro Bowl Games and will feature AFC and NFC players showcasing their football and non-football skills and challenges over several days. This will take place in Las Vegas on February 5th. Butch, skills competition and flag football sounds like a fun early February to me.
Sound like a pile of crap. You know how many people are going to watch that?
Nobody.
If they do anything, they're going to raise the ante up for flag football and a lot of beer leagues and all this other stuff, which is nice, okay? You're not going to be able to play in the majority of the country because we're going to be all full of snow and stuff.
There. Right.
Unless you want to be a 2-foot nickel drunk and go out there and play football in the snow or in knee-deep weather there, okay? Go up to Sister Maria and play flag football here, you know? It's right by the Sioux Locks there. How long will you survive, Scott?
Not very long. I've been out there, yes.
That's a great question there. And so I say right now, I think the skills competition is very nice. I think the problem with the Pro Bowl is that they were not physical during those games that they had the Pro Bowls.
Right.
And that was due to the fact that you had a lot of teams going after playoffs. You got the Super Bowl the week after that, okay? So you really don't have too much ammunition and when you come down there and put your all-stars in there to play a game that would be fitting for everybody to watch and enjoy and whatnot there. Pro Bowl's not like it used to be in the 60s and the 70s and maybe the early 80s. The Pro Bowl has fallen down to a no, not one. And I agree with it. If you can't be competitive in what the doggone sport should be, then why have it in the first place? But the flag football thing here, that might be fun for the little kids and mom and dad maybe to watch something like that there where they go out there and immolate it in the yard or something. But again, what pro football has done is it's trying to get some commercial time, sell the product, and it's not going to be very popular at all. You watch when it comes down there to the ropes. And that's going to be played late January.
Early February.
You're right, when people try to do their taxes.
Exactly. Butch, we're going to take a break. Butch, we're going to take a break. When you and I come back, we will move on to college football as Michigan and Michigan State were in action, and only one of those teams actually showed up. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Reed Metals in Tafter is your honest metal recycling business. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals buys heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims and motors, copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, sheet iron, and many more types of metals. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for scrap vehicles, and they also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer. Skinners of Pickford, your tractor source in the north.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, we covered the NFL and high school football. Let's move on to college football as both Michigan and Michigan State were at home. Let's get to the good as far as the Michigan teams. Michigan wasn't easy, but they knock off Maryland 34-27, remaining unbeaten. Blake Corum, he had a big day, a career-high 243 yards and two touchdowns on 30 carries. Michigan, they will host Iowa on Saturday. And then there was Michigan State. They needed a bounce back after getting trounced at Washington, giving up 503 yards of offense. They did even worse. They gave up 508 yards of offense to Minnesota, who absolutely ran the Spartans out of the building, winning 34-7. It wasn't even that close, as Michigan State now 2-2 on the season. I don't even know, or quite honestly, I don't even care who they play next week. I'm so disgusted with that team right now and their performance. But Butch, try to give me some positive vibes here as a Spartan fan. Boy, that was about as ugly as you're going to get at home.
It ain't too ugly there. It could be worse, you know, but
I don't know.
Excuse me. I think, yeah, that was a laugh or two here. Check where I was laughing. Michigan State needs to assess what's going on there, okay? Because right now, the players that they claim they have and how they went after certain individuals, they're not showing up.
No.
And you could say it's coaching, but a lot of that's to do with the players' inexperience there. But Minnesota is not chopped liver, okay?
Yeah, they're a good team.
One. And to go in there let Minnesota come in your house and just knock you around like a bowling ball there or a pin, which Michigan State was, it was thoroughly ridiculous. And I'm not quite sure a lot of fans up in Michigan State did not have a happy-go-lucky Saturday evening there. On the other hand, Michigan and Maryland, they went blow for blow, you know, for good three quarters there. But Michigan ultimately came on out and showed that they were the tougher team and whatnot. Just by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin. So, again, you know, both teams showed their worth. And right now, I say both teams need to find some improvement. Michigan on offense, Michigan on defense, I should say, and Michigan State all around there. That's just right now. They're not showing what they were advertised to be.
No, and Mel Tucker gets that 10-year, $95 million extension last November. Boy, they might have a little buyer's remorse right now, Butch. The positive news for Spartan fans, Butch, is that they have one of the nation's best punters in Bryce Behringer. But that's about it. I mean, you look at the pass defense last year, which was worst, I think, in FBS. They're as bad this year. They can't run the ball. Obviously, not having Kenneth Walker III, has hurt them. Their offense is bad. Their defense is bad. Outside their punting, their special teams is bad. Michigan State will travel to Maryland this week. That's going to be a tough game for Sparty because we saw what Maryland did against Michigan. They were right in that game. So things not looking good for Michigan State, who had a lot of preseason hype. And I always worry when Spartan teams in any sport get a lot of preseason hype. Sometimes those things don't go well. Mel Tucker might be feeling a little bit of the heat right now, Butch.
He don't care about no heat. He got 10 years.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
And Michigan State had to buy him out. They don't want him there.
Good point.
He's a happy man right now. Damn it, you do. Damn it, you don't. Okay? If you're dealing with that stuff. So it's not about Mel Tucker. It's about the coaching staff that Mr. Tucker has and get them more motivated to do a better job in teaching those kids the ropes and making it a more competitive game on the field there. Yes, if they go into Maryland next week with the same attitude, Maryland will kick their teeth down their throat.
I agree. Your top 10 right now, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, who routed Wisconsin. You have Michigan at 4, Clemson, who had a wild double overtime win at Wake Forest, USC 6 as they edge past Oregon State, Kentucky at 7, Tennessee, a big win at home against Florida, Oklahoma State, and the NC State Wolfpack. Your Oregon Ducks, Butch, nice win over Washington State. They're knocking on the door. And there's one program I like to see have success in college football, and they haven't had a lot. It's Kansas. They're 4-0. They beat Duke in what would have been a great college basketball matchup. Pretty good football matchup as well. Kansas undefeated.
Well, the Kansas and the Duke thing here, you know, you can take that with a rule of thumb there, okay? But, again, a win's a win. Whatever you can get it, take it and run with it there. the football game that gave me the most cracked up, I laughed a lot through the whole game, was Central Michigan and Penn State.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest laugh in time because I think in my reality there, Central Michigan is a pretty good doggone team. They're not as a good offensive team they have been in the past. I think that has held them back tremendously when it comes down to playing upper echelon teams there. But I would love to see them in the MAC because they start that next week and see how they fare with that. Eastern Michigan is not no bums no more, okay? I'm just telling you right now, Eastern Michigan, watch out for that team and how they're going to surprise some people there. Eastern Michigan has a very good team this year. Do not be surprised that they go high in a very good bowl game this year.
Butch, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When you and I come back, we'll look at Major League Baseball. We'll also cover the Red Wings, the Pistons, and much more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you looking to get fit or maybe just stay in shape?
The All-in-One Fitness Club can help you with all your fitness wants and needs. Their great facility is fully equipped with locker rooms, saunas, and the best cardio equipment, along with the best plate-loaded and cable equipment around. The All-in-One Fitness Club also offers great deals for seniors, students, state, and federal employees, all with no yearly contract and no hidden fees.
Wow!
Come join today upstairs at the Big Bear Arena, where you'll achieve all your fitness goals. For more information on hours and more, go to SuTribeHealth.com. Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric. 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pinkator, your independent auto owner's agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Now's the time of the year to get more for your money on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor. Enjoy 0% financing on select Mahindra tractors. That's more for less on Mahindra's best-selling models. We deliver more lift, better fuel efficiency, and more built-in weight. Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales. Come on in and test drive a new Mahindra today. And remember, we also carry a full line of Boss Plows, Cub Cadet, Woods Implements, X-Mark Mowers, Echo Power Equipment, and Doolittle Trailers. Give us a call today at 906-478-3026. And remember, I-75, exit 373 in Rudyard for the best service in the EUP.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
7:33 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, let's move on to Major League Baseball. The Detroit Tigers ended the Chicago White Sox playoff dream over the weekend as the Tigers get their first sweep in Chicago since 2018, winning on Sunday by the score of 4-1. The Tigers playing out the string. They'll host Kansas City starting tomorrow night and then Minnesota over the weekend to end their homestand. They'll be at Seattle for four games next week. Butch, maybe too little too late, but Tigers at least showed over the weekend they can play sometimes pretty good baseball.
And again some, too.
Yeah.
As they did this past weekend there for a team that basically had ran out of gas and then some here. That's Chicago. Everybody thought they would be the big bad boogie bear in the Central Division of the American League, and they wasn't to be there. Cleveland, I got to take my hat off to them.
Boy, I guess.
Some basic baseball.
Yep.
They hit it where it lied. You didn't have no fancy hitters. They went after the pitchers. They were offensive-minded, played very good defense. I mean, what are you going to do? And there are only 87 games to lock up the division.
Yeah.
That's the crashed up part there, where we locked in the division right now. They're not being even settled because they're winning 90 games and stuff there. You know, the Tigers, that's why they look like fools right now there. And hopefully they get that problem straightened out this year. You know, they have to be a competitive team. Now, on the other hand, I'm rooting for Cleveland because if they play the game they're playing versus teams that depend on knocking the ball off the park, I would have to go with Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland clinches the clinches, excuse me, the division, a 10-game lead just a couple weeks ago, Butch. That was only a couple-game lead, so they've certainly peaked at the right time. Looking at the standings, Butch, the Yankees, they're going to win the East. They have an 8.5-game lead. They're in the playoffs already. Cleveland, as we mentioned, and Houston. Houston's going to win the West in the wild card. Right now, Toronto, Tampa, and Seattle, the three teams in there. Seattle looking to make their first postseason in 21 years. Baltimore still in the mix, but they're starting to run out of time. They're four games out of the wild card. Just really one division race, probably still up for grabs. The Mets in the NL East with a 1.5-game lead over Atlanta. St. Louis, a pretty comfortable 6.5-game lead over Milwaukee. And you have the Dodgers, which have already clinched. And then the wild card in the National League, Butch, getting a little interesting in that one. You have Atlanta or New York, whoever doesn't finish first in that one, they're going to get in. You also have San Diego, a 1.5-game lead over Milwaukee. And then you have the Phillies. They're the team that's kind of sliding. Milwaukee just 1.5-game back. So besides the Aaron Judge watch, and we saw Pujols with his 700 home runs, still a little bit to play for here as we get to the postseason in a little over a week.
Well, a little bit to play for, but and both those teams, the Mets and Atlanta, they're already in the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, the winner gets a bye, the loser goes and play a 2 out of 3 or something like that there. I mean, what more do you want? But they're both in. This was a pretty good season there. San Diego, I still look at them. I still look at the race. What's little left in the American League as far as Seattle going, Seattle has not been a very good team the last week and 10 days there. Toronto, on the other hand, has been winning the series like a hog and flock there. And that's the team that might give the Yankees a big, big problem because they quit playing today. The Yankees will be playing who? The Blue Jays. And that would be a little tough on the Yankees if they come out there thinking they can knock the heck out of the ball everywhere they go. And the Blue Jays come out there with some decent pitching and some decent defense.
Will be very interesting. And when we talk next week, we will know a lot more about the standings and potential teams in the playoffs. Butch, before we go to our final break, the Detroit Red Wings had their annual red-white inter-scrimmage game in Traverse City yesterday. They had their final day of a training camp and will open up exhibition play tomorrow night in Pittsburgh and be home on Wednesday against Chicago. The Wings will open up the regular season October 14th at home against Montreal. So we're getting close to that time, Butch. Your thoughts on the Wings?
I'm looking for the Wings to have a pretty doggone good year. we see a coach this year, Lalonde, is just saying, you know what? I'm going to see how everybody goes through the motions during the preseason. And that's how he's going to pick his team. And the best it will be the best, and they'll start off the season, but there's no guarantee they'll be ending the season. I like his attitude a lot. Hopefully he can make this very competitive where the Wings come out there being a competitive team this year who can be in the playoffs. No questions about it there because they have the youth and the talent and also some experience to go with that there. They haven't made a whole hell of a lot of changes, but the changes that they have made bringing certain veterans on should nourish this team a lot more than they have been in the past.
One change for teams going to Canada, Butch. The Canadian government confirmed today that non-citizens entering the country, including professional athletes, will no longer be required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. That'll begin on Saturday, and certainly, the Wings and their unvaccinated, I believe, player, or maybe players, I'm not 100% sure on that, will be able to play in Canada. So hip, hip, hooray for the country of Canada as the Wings could have their full roster playing in Toronto, Montreal, and other parts.
And that means that Dave McKay now has no skills to not to come across the bridge there and go come on live on the radio anymore here. You know what I'm saying here? Let me just, I'm being very juicy about this there, but I like that.
I think it's time. Butch, the Detroit Pistons had their media day today, and I don't know if this has been made official yet, but many sources have confirmed that Bogdan Bogdanovic. He is now a Detroit Piston in exchange for Kelly Olynyk and Sabin Lia. They did put out their roster today. Some additions, Alex Burks, Nerland Noel, Kevin Knox. Those are all from the Knicks. Kemba Walker, who the Pistons acquired in a trade with the Knicks during the offseason, he's listed on the roster, but he's not with the team. So I'm not 100% sure what's going to go on there.
Is injured too.
Yep, and he's hurt. So interesting move, getting a veteran presence there in Bogdanovic. Maybe this Pistons team is ready to take it to the next step, or maybe not. Your thoughts?
I don't know. It's all about the coaching staff. And then the same philosophy they have been in the last 2-3 years there. It's going to be a very messy Piston team, regardless of the talent they have right now. Which they got, I think, some of the best young talent in the league there. It's the veterans that's going to kind of migrate those young kids to do a lot more thinking on the court and making a lot more better decisions in how they deal with things and playing the other team there. The Pistons have to play defense. They can't be slacking off on that. That's got to be their bread and butter. Their offense, they're going to have to be a lot more consistent in getting the ball in the hoop. They cannot, and I mean it, truly, I mean this, they cannot depend on the three-point play or the three-point shot in order to make them a good team. I am so sorry whoever agreed with that, and I don't agree with the coach on that. I never have. I think that's kept the team from being the team that they should be at this point in time and being a lot better. So if they do those things, and the one thing the Pistons did this year that I kind of enjoyed was the majority of the team, 75% of it, went down to the summer league. And that should bring a lot of players helping each other, before camping started, to get together and know each other and work together and work out and make things a lot better. So, again, familiarity with each other would be the brains on them being a better team there, what they can and cannot do. But, again, the season is not far away. The exhibition season, you got to use that as a buffer to put the best players on the team. And we'll see what happens.
We are your home for Detroit Pistons basketball once again this season here on News Talk 1400, as the Pistons will start their regular season in October. You can hear all games, as I mentioned, right here on News Talk 1400. One other basketball note, Butch, before we go to our final break. How about the U.S. women's team participating in the FIBA World Cup? They went over the weekend over South Korea, 145-69. As they topped the record, which was set by Brazil, of 143 points back in 1990. 145 points. Where's the defense in South Korea, Butch?
Nowhere to be found.
Apparently not. Butch, we're gonna take our.
Nowhere to be found. I'm very interested because the team like Australia is going to be a very big opponent for the United States. Canada is going to be another opponent for the United States. Russia is going to be there. And maybe some of the Serbian teams there might be a point of a purchase for the United States there. I don't see England or some of the other teams from South America being a big portion. Maybe Brazil, maybe. They kind of sneak up on you a bit. And also Puerto Rico, with the problems they're having in that country right now, that might be an issue of fielding a good team at Puerto Rico. It's normally a very fitting opponent for the United States there. I don't know. Again, I see United States putting the cap on this here.
I think so as well. Butch, we got to take our final break of the night, but when we come back, we'll fit in whatever sports we can. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. With 9 locations to serve you, they're everywhere you need them to be. Account options such as checking, savings, and retirement accounts. Apply online for personal, home, and business loans. Enjoy conveniences like online banking, CSB Loan Pay Express, instant issue debit cards, mobile wallet, and remote deposit capture. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want in today's fast-paced world. Visit one of their 9 locations, see their helpful smiling faces, and get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
Ram Power Days at O'Connor's of Pickford means your craving for a powerful Ram is about to be satisfied. During Ram Power Days at O'Connor's, check out the ultra-low mileage leases that fit your budget, like a new 2022 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab. On a 36-month ultra-low mile lease, you pay $408 a month plus tax and only $3,400 due at signing. That's with your good credit, too. Ram Power Days, just in time for the cold weather at O'Connor's of Pickford.
Reed Metals in Tafter is your honest metal recycling business. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals buys heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims and motors, copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, sheet iron, and many more types of metals. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for scrap vehicles, and they also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:48 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. If you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it a little bit after we get off the air at 8 o'clock. On the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. But some other news and notes from around the world of sports. Team USA, they continue their domination in golf at the President's Cup as they down the international team again. The international team didn't have four or more of their better players who defected to the Live Golf, the evil Live Golf Saudi-funded organization. It had 8 rookies, a new format, but it didn't matter. U.S. Seems to win this one a lot more than the Ryder Cup, and the international team have never won on American soil since the tournament began in 1994. So hip hip hooray for Team USA, Butch. They win again.
Finally on Sunday there, okay. He was looking sloppy throughout the doggone Thursday, Friday, and Saturday there, but Sunday he showed up very well there. And it was a for what little I watched, which I watched a lot of it on Sunday here, it seemed to be competitive. The United States had a very big handle on this whole situation there. I can't wait for the Ryder Cup and see how much the Ryder Cup is going to be arguing on those players who went to Live be able to play in the Ryder Cup there. That's going to be fun there.
It will indeed. Butch, 7-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson retiring from full-time racing as he says he's going to turn his focus towards spending time with his family. Johnson Johnson said, I've got a blank sheet of paper and we can now see what opportunities exist and start making a calendar. Certainly Johnson, seven-time NASCAR champion, Butch, one of the better drivers in that circuit.
Yep. And he ain't going to miss it with a doggone, especially when it comes down to a car running into him for no reason at all. But he was a good driver. He took care of business. He made things very competitive for other racers who coming in there right now, who's given a lot of the oldsters a lot to do with their money and whatnot there. And I'm talking about the Bushes and whatnot. They're making things pretty square. I like Johnson because he was a very versatile racer, okay? He tried all kind of formats, and he was very successful almost all of them there. But NASCAR, he was the man, and you're going to miss him.
Tyler Reddick was eliminated from NASCAR title competition yesterday as that playoff race continues. Butch, is the NASCAR season too long? I mean, it starts in February. It goes, I believe, into early November. Is it too long? Because I feel like NASCAR on the national sports scene just quite isn't there. Is it because the season's too long, or am I just off base?
Well, it's a spring and summer sport. And television and commercialism was hanging dry to December and New Year's, okay? And right now, the interest in the country, it may not be in so much of NASCAR. They're into football, which, again, you know, many teams in the United States don't have professional football teams. So that leads to many people laying into college football in their town or in their state. You know, they're showing out just as much as they showed out for maybe one NASCAR race versus maybe twice a month showing out there and more for football there for in college and as well as high school as well, which is may not be as big as we call it in Michigan, per se, there, in a lot of the cities there, where that's the big mention, it is. But in maybe a city like Detroit or Grand Rapids or maybe even Saginaw there, you got many teams in that particular area there, per se, to pick and choose who you're going to root for there. So it levels itself out there. So NASCAR, no, it's a spring and summer sport. After the summer's over, like right now, it shouldn't be no NASCAR. Where are you going to race at?
I agree, Butch. Yeah, I think so. Butch, real quick, speaking of football, in less than 2 months, the World Cup will take place in Qatar for soccer. And Team USA, they were not looking good in their exhibition match, or friendly, I should say, against Japan, 2-0. Team England, they're struggling in their Nations League. And both those teams in the same group once the big games start, you know, Team USA, they just you get high hopes, and you see an exhibition match like we saw last week. They look pretty rough. You excited for the World Cup in November, sir?
I'm excited for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I'm excited that the United States got their best players or best team that's going to be on the pitch in order to deal with all this stuff there, because we're seeing a formidable opponents there. And then a lot of people don't understand that this is ordinarily the World Cup will be going on right now. Okay, it should be ending about right now here. And this is going to start off in November where, you know, it's a little cooler where they got players in Equator and whatnot there. So it is a big, big change there. And I think the team that has the warmer weather almost all year round are going to have a huge advantage in this particular tournament.
That's a good point. Butch, before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, what's going on in the world of wrestling?
It sucks. Right now, AEW, again, they win this week with some competitive matches, keeping things going on, not doing a lot of chitter-chatter and whatever it may be, but showing wrestling matches. They went around in my justification this week. WWE is getting a lot better. enjoying matches from the beginning to end, especially on Raw, where people are now, they're expressing themselves the way they should have been in a very long time ago, that the WWE ain't crap anymore, because all they want to do is kind of boast a match. Now they're going to boast this big particular match in Saudi Arabia now, and forget about the other matches that should be in there. Raw has a pretty good lineup on there tonight there. You know, Kevin Owens and Johnny Gargano going to be tag teaming against the, I guess, the shush man and the guy who weighs a lot here, okay? I think it's worth watching there. But again, I think the WWE do not take advantage of the three-hour time, especially on Raw, of showing more matches. If that includes the NXT brand on their show, so be it. But people want to see more matches.
Butch, on AEW, anytime MJF is on the mic, it's must-see TV. Isn't he great? Oh, he is so good. Butch, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I will start thumbs up to the Detroit Tigers. Yes, this weekend, kind of lost in the shuffle. They actually played pretty good baseball and knocked a team out of the playoffs, and hasn't been too much this season that I've said thumbs up to the Detroit Tigers. So I'm giving them thumbs up this week. That brings me to my thumbs down. Thumbs down to Michigan State. Boy, oh boy. Lots of expectations going into this season. Obviously, when you play Akron and Western Michigan, sometimes those expectations may be a little bit ballooned, but pass to pass week, giving up over 1,000 yards of combined offense. I'll give you the game last week against Washington, but at home, and granted, Minnesota is a very good team, and they were without their top wide receiver, which makes it even more challenging as a Spartan fan. Just terrible. They got to fix that quick, fast, and in a hurry. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long season. And thumbs down to the Detroit Lions coaching staff for some questionable decisions, especially late in that game. As Butch mentioned earlier, the talent is there. They got to shore up the defense, but coaching, got to figure that out. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Oh, boy. Thumbs down. Go to the Detroit Lions for stay there. What a nasty coaching job that they did throughout that particular game there. And again, when things work for you, you got to keep pressing them buttons until they fail for you there. But Detroit Lions did not take advantage of that. Neither, this game should have been far and long forgotten there. And it's not going to be. Detroit needs to win next week against Seattle at home.
Yep.
Okay, or they're going to be due for a lot of complaining. And I don't think this year, with Christmas and the economy the way it is, people are going to express themselves early and very much. Thumbs up to the Cleveland Indian Guardians.
Yes.
The Cleveland Indian Guardians, you know, I have to throw that one in. I don't care. The American League Central Champion. And hopefully the Cleveland Guardians will send the Detroit Tigers, who made it worth their while to wash off the Chicago White Sox, maybe a couple of cases of Boone Farm or something, you know?
And some,
they're not going to serve no champagne, but give them something to kind of wet their whistle on.
And in Escanaba, Michigan, as we speak, our good friend E.J. Russell smiling as Browns won and his Guardians made the playoffs, Butch.
Yeah, well, we won't hear him keep his mouth closed for a very long time. And I'm rooting for Cleveland to be very good in the playoffs. Really, I am.
Butch Davis joining us on the game. Again, you can find Butch on sports Sundays and Wednesdays on his website, SimplyButch2. That's too.podomatic.com. Butch, as always, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of the game, sir.
Will do.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. I want to thank co-host Butch Davis, along with co-host David McKeag Jr., and all of you for listening tonight. Again, if you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it here in about 15 minutes on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for this Monday night edition of The Game. We'll talk to you next Monday for our next edition of The Game here on News Talk 1400.
Thanks for listening to The Game on News Talk 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.